Good evening. Thanks for coming out tonight. We're pretty excited to show you some work that the, this committee and consultants and you weighed in on for the last couple of years. We've got kind of a formal presentation. We'll give you the whole background of kind of where we are tonight. It's going to take maybe 15 or 20 minutes. So what I'd like to do, and we have a full hour scheduled, so if you can hold your questions until the end, and then we'll have plenty of time for Q&A. And I want to remind everybody, if you aren't familiar with the last council meeting where we presented this, this is the beginning of, I think, 9 public meetings we have scheduled with citizens and advisory boards over the next couple months to hopefully shape this into something that's better than it is today. I think what we're going to show you is some really interesting ideas, but they're really concepts and they're ideas about where we tried to start from this work, and we have a long way to go to even figure out a lot of the, if they're good ideas, how we would execute them. So that's what this whole process is going to be, and I hope you engage us in this process. We're not trying to sell you or any agenda on this organization. We were asked by council to form a committee to look at, is the structure we currently have as good as it could be, and does it align with 2020? It was really kind of that simple. Now, it's a much more complicated process, as you're going to see. And I'm really going to only show you the beginning of half of the work. So with the time frame that even we had, we are only going to present about half of what could be a reorganization, and we're going to show you at the end of the presentation a timeline to start the conversation on the second half sometime next fall. So thanks for coming. As I just really said, this is really the starting point in a conversation where we want to involve not only the advisors and the student of government has helped us, the school of government has helped us. You all weighed in through a survey and through conversations. And so we really are intending this to be the beginning of ideas and see and flesh them out. And in my estimation, although we don't have a timeline figured out, it will probably take 2 to 5 years to make all this happen, probably. So it's a very thoughtful, there's a bunch of smart people who have worked on this for a while. So I'd like you to kind of sit back. This is a presentation that's going to be online tomorrow. And it's way too complicated for a 20-minute presentation. I normally would have a very high level. There's a lot of information here. So I'm not going to talk the whole 20 minutes. I'm going to let you see some slides, absorb some of the information. And I ask you to keep an open mind in this process. And so that's kind of the beginning of this conversation we're having. But we put a lot of thought into getting to this point. So I hope you stay kind of open-minded and absorbing. I have a lot of chance to input in this over the next 2 or 3 months. This work started really in 2010. And I'm not going to go through all this stuff, but there's been a lot of council work, consultant work, school of government, and advisory boards and staff have weighed in on this project. They started a number of things kind of on this journey. Again, they're up here. Hired a community development coordinator 2 years ago. Started some training for the first time in a long time. A lot of things are started in this process, but we have a long way to go to in our opinion, to get better. The council committee, Matt has been at this for almost 3 years now. Donna was on the committee, Lauren and I'm Gene Pease, have been on the committee together for over a year. We've had an incredible amount of staff input. You all, I'll show you some numbers in a minute. The advisory board members, a significant amount of you weighed in. And the school of government helped us. And so there's been a lot of input in this process so far. And again, all this is going to go up on the web. It's all, and there's notes behind this presentation if you are so interested in reading them. We, town staff, which is the Communications and Public Affairs, CAPA, which I didn't know what that meant when I started the process, And the school government did a research project, and this was the purpose of it, was try to understand how you felt. And there were 76 advisory board members and 66 staff that answered that survey. Significant population, considering how many. There were 3 workshops and a significant document review. There was a tremendous amount of documents in this core research done, just to get an understanding of what's behind the work, the documents we produce, what's legal, what's subjective, all that stuff. And there were really, and I want to share the major findings. The research report will be on the web. We have a website dedicated for this project. It'll be up tomorrow. And I have all of the documents that have been produced in this, if you so want to look at them. There were 4 key finding areas. There was a finding that there was not enough clarity of purpose and function. There was a finding that basically said nobody can quite define what diversity means for the advisory boards. A lot of different opinions on that. Everybody, for the most part, felt that we could improve our training. And most members wanted to know the fiscal impact in this and in this environment we have. So I'm going to quickly go through the highlights of the report. And again, the report's up on the website. So the biggest finding was that the advisory board members that were surveyed, and there were 76 out of 100 and about 170, so huge amount of people responded, basically said it wasn't clear what their role was and what their responsibilities were and what the connection is to the council work. Significant disconnect. And I felt that way when I was on the planning board 5 or 6 years ago, whenever it was. Everybody, for the most part, and I'm using generalizations, but they were pretty significantly high responses, felt there should be better clarity on this connection between the work that's being done, the process, and the connection to the council's work. So the first 2 slides are related from a lack of clarity. And for the most part, everybody that took the survey and responded felt that the work should be aligned with now 2020. And that was, again, a significant amount of the people. And so, the last bullet is really this thing that I would call in the business I do about alignment. There's really not a strong alignment between what you do, you feel. I'm not saying there isn't, but you told us it wasn't nearly as much alignment as you would like as a community member on these advisory boards and the work the council does. I'm not saying there's a disconnect, but there's not enough clarity in the work you do. You told us. In the survey, I think it was very clear that that came through. There was a wide variety of how you even define diversity of membership on a board, the kinds of boards, all of the things the boards did. So one of the goals of this project is to help define that so we can be a little bit clearer on some of the issues around diversity. And there's a whole bunch of different ways you can look at what that means related to the advisory board system. And everybody felt our training was a great start. We've put a lot of investment of time into doing that, but it could be improved. And one of the goals of this program will be to do that. And for the most part, again, these are the majority of the respondents from both staff and the advisory boards, was that they wanted a better understanding of the cost of this system we have and how it relates to our fiscal issues. And this is, I won't spend much time on this. This is, again, this is it's in the report. But the staff was surveyed, that every staff member that did something related to management of the advisory boards and did an estimate, and they came up, these are their numbers, almost 4 full-time jobs, equating to $450,000 of what it costs us just to run this current system. Now, our mission going into the project wasn't to lower the cost. if it's a byproduct, if we can lower the cost to do this, that's great. But that isn't what this thing is about. What we're trying to do is figure out, knowing the conversations going on with our budget, what this stuff costs. Now, I've done a back of the envelope from this survey, and Matt has done one. And Matt just joined us, so he'll be here for Q&A. My number is well into the $500, close to $600,000. I think Matt's is even higher than my number. So the way the survey was done, we think the staff was conservative in how they estimated because they didn't want it to look like they spent a lot of time in non-development process or whatever. So it's a big number, though. That's the point of this, and we're not going to argue. So at our council retreat, the committee, Matt, Lauren, and I, asked the council, what would success, if this project is successful, it's a mouthful, what would this look like? And so we defined success from two points of view. We defined it from your point of view. Can we make a system that you're more engaged and feel you're more connected to outcomes? And can the council get better clarity around the advisory board system and frankly, get better input? We get a wide variety of input, but it's pretty inconsistent. Now, it's not being critical. It's the way the system's set up. This isn't about any board or individual at this point. We have 19 boards, standing boards. So part of our, when we looked at it, part of our challenge was, where do we start? Originally, the committee felt we could kind of look at everything in this time frame, and as we dug into it, we said it's physically impossible. It's too complicated of a system. So we're going to show you tonight the work that was done on kind of half of the system. It really revolves around the development process because that touches more boards, and it's probably the majority of the work the council does, is my guess. So one of the things when we were thinking about this massive system that's been built up over decades is we return to the council's goals to govern with quality, responsiveness, and efficiency. And the statement's important because that really tells us how the council does its work. And it impacts every decision and action. So with that in mind, we started to think broadly about governance. So I'm going to spend a few minutes thinking about the foundation of the thinking behind this. Right, so you have an idea of the size of the system and complexity, I hope I just showed you, and the cost of it, and the disconnect that you told us. So now I want to spend a little bit of time having you kind of think about the foundation of a system, not the current system we have, but just the system. So some kind of the building blocks of the house we're rebuilding, if that makes any sense. So there's four kind of key components, we believe, for what we're calling in this conversation we're going to have with you, foundation of governance. And they're around good data. Data is only good, though, if you can translate into information that's useful. And that's really a challenge. But we're trying to work on that, and we think that's a key building block. Community input, and then help from the community, trying to identify the trade-offs that inevitably happen with the city that has all this stuff going on. We have conflicts all the time in the development process, and hopefully we'll get better clarity around what those priorities should be. I mentioned just a minute ago that data is a good start, but it's really no good unless you can turn information, and that's, in my opinion, in my work for a living, is running a statistical analytical complicated company that solves really complicated problems. And the challenge everybody has is we have all this data. There's this trend, you probably, if you read anything, it's called big data right now. We're overwhelmed with data, but the challenge is we're having trouble in all facets of society turning in information. And then there's differences of opinion on what it means. So the more clarity you can make out of your data from an information point of view, you can get less opinion out of the interpretation of that data. And so that's where turning data into information is really critical with the amount of information we have. And clearly, one of the ways to help us with that is the advisory board system that gives us community input from different points of view. So that's why the foundation of community input in the advisory board system for us, I believe, is so important. So we have it as one of the basic building blocks in this system. But inevitably, we're not all going to agree and we're all going to have different points of view. And the challenge in that is how do we as a council, and there's only 9 of us, make a decision that kind of reflects the community and its values when we get a lot of conflicting information. And I know that because I've sat on this, but I've sat in your advisory board seat. I was 9 or 10 years I volunteered for stuff. So if we can get more clarity under how these trade-offs happen at the advisory board level, we would be smarter to be very personal about it. Council would be smarter in these decisions. So if we can create a system that does that, and it's not going to ever be perfect, and we are going to have disagreements. It's not about that. But it's just trying to get some more clarity in the system, we'd be better off making decisions. So I showed you the slide that had 19 boards. Our heads started spinning. We started thinking about all the ways they were all connected. So we peeled off those that touched the development process and focused on that. And that's the work you're going to see tonight. And we said, depending on the time frame, the committee will reconvene on phase 2 in the fall and start thinking about all the other things. And there's a whole bunch of them. And some are related and some aren't. So a lot of the stuff that we're going to show you tonight, or maybe a lot of your questions, we can't answer because we haven't even thought through this process for phase 2. So if you understand that, you'll kind of then... So we really want to get your heads around the development process and the board work and what the connections and disconnections are. That's what phase 1's all about. So we looked at the process and we get 6 different types of information in the development review, and they come from a lot of different places. And then we spent some time thinking, how does that intersection of all that information fit with 2020? And so the work we're going to show you tonight didn't start with the current system. It started with building a foundation philosophically, understanding the current system, and creating something kind of from scratch that we think reflects 2020. So that's what we're going to show you tonight, the first part of this. And I want you to remember this is going to be a process for months to get a discussion going and see which are the good ideas in this and which don't really work well. And we're going to look at it from your point of view, your workload point of view. We're going to look at it from council's point of view. We're going to look at it from staff input. So we want to try to avoid in this conversation drawing lines in the sand early and try to flesh it out and try to think about this being the concept, not the answers. We know there's a ton of stuff we haven't figured out, and we need your help doing that. So if we can keep the conversation, the cup is half full for a while. I'm not suggesting, I don't know where this is going to end up. Matt doesn't know where this is going to end up. Lauren doesn't. Nor does Ed. Thanks for joining, Ed. Ed doesn't know where. We've had, in the course, I think, of the last work, we've had 6 council members be at some of our meetings. So there's a big involvement by council wanting to get through this process with you. So if we can keep it positive, we may come out with something that's a little different and better. That's our goal. So we're going to introduce you tonight a new development board system that really has 4 new boards and then a new idea for the planning board. And they're called these 4. I'll walk you through kind of what they look like and how we got here. We know these aren't perfect. We know there's workload issues at this point. So if you can think of these as kind of an umbrella or a cloud of an idea, we're going to then figure out where are the good ideas and where aren't some of our ideas that are so good. So the first board I want to talk about, one is called Transportation and Connectivity. And it's really based on the theme getting around. Again, I'm not going to read everything tonight. You'll have plenty of time to absorb this. But this is really a committee that would really look at all modes of transportation, hopefully equally, and have experts from different points of view on that committee, and really consolidate kind of the thinking around getting around. So our first idea is a Transportation Connectivity Advisory Board. The second idea we have is a board called Community Design Advisory Board, around 2020 theme, Good Places, New Spaces. And this board really does both holistic and advocates for design aesthetic. They'll do some of the work that the planning board may be doing, or before the planning board doing, on duplexes, NCD work, and some of those things. And they may administer the percent for art program, which is part of the development process. So an idea around a board called Community Design. The third board we're thinking about is called Environmental Stewardship. And that's around the theme nurturing our community. And that board is really around the environmental resources, the parks and greenways, and the cemeteries, kind of last key piece of that. The fourth board we would envision is called Community Housing Advisory Board. And that's around the theme of place for everyone. So it's really taking a lot of the conversations that are going on in the community and some of the board work and putting them under a housing board that would have experts to help guide us in all these different conversations we're having right now, and help us with the community housing strategy, which has already been started. So trying to put all of those different pieces, which now they're not housed anywhere, any singular place, and put them under kind of one roof with experts, citizen experts to help guide the town. And I believe, and I think the committee members would be, we would be much smarter in our conversations up here around that subject if we had more help from the community. So we're thinking about four boards that are around the themes for 2020, but there still would be, in our minds, kind of that conflict of no one board has enough expertise in any area to help us with the trade-offs, because sometimes these align great, and I can tell you from experience, and I know Matt and Ed would, sometimes these things don't align, and we have to make some trade-offs in different areas. So if we could get the boards to help us with that, but right now the system is we get all this independent opinion. So what we're suggesting is changing the planning board makeup a little bit differently than it is now. That from the four boards that are created, each of those would have a representative on the planning board. Now, we recognize it would be an enormous amount of workload. Probably wouldn't quite be where council's workload is, but it would be a lot of work. But we would have on the board then some at-large members, four kind of experts in these areas. So the theory behind this is that we would, at the Community Design Advisory Board, for whatever their charge was and all the things they were looking at for a development application process we go through, let's say an SUP, that they would hash that out at the community board level and then come with a weighted recommendation on that. And then the planning board could have a balanced conversation and help us come with a balanced opinion on some of these trade-offs. Now, the stuff that all aligns is easy for all of us, but I can tell you most of the work we do isn't that clean. And we believe the theory behind this is it would help be more in line with helping council make those balances. Not that, again, we will always agree, but we think the system would help. That's the theory behind. And then the last piece of this, which we're kind of debating, but we decided not to create a separate economic sustainability kind of board, not sustainability, the one we have, that's a different, but an economic board is we thought with the consultants we're now using in some of the development process, and we hope the knowledge staff is learning, that we would get that expertise that's needed. And some of us, and Matt started this charge, we've been very vocal about trying to get more independent financial information on some of these developments, because they typically come from the developer. And so we would get that expertise, we think, without an additional board, but we would get it through consultants, and we currently have it. We're doing that now, so we think that would still work. But again, this is all up for debate or discussion. These are, and again, I won't read them, but we believe, the committee believes, I think the staff that's definitely been involved, and our consultants at school of government believe it would, the system would be better from a systematic point of view. There'd be more clarity. You would be more, you would feel like you have more of a voice. And then we think there would be a better connection between the work you're doing and what we're trying to do up here to leap to 2020. So there's 11 boards or parts of boards that would be touched by this. Some would be folded in entirely and some would only be parts, because some boards do more, like Parks and Rec, they do more than just development stuff. And so in phase two, there would be looking at those functions. We could maybe create a cultural advisory board or something. I'm not at all thinking about the solution. But we know that there's some pieces of these boards that wouldn't be covered in this new theory, these four new boards, or five boards. Okay, so there's work that's being done that's not going to go away. If it's valuable, we'll look at it in phase two and find a home for it. And it may be, you know, I don't know, I'm not even going to envision what that might look like. But there's a whole other half of this work if you look at this chart. There's half of some of these boards and then all the ones that aren't in black. So we're envisioning a pretty long process. And if this works, this process works for phase one, we'll duplicate the process for phase two. So the timeline is really, there's going to be, in the next 2 months, I'll show you the next two sets of months, I think 9 public meetings to have this conversation and get input and mold this to where whatever the community really wants but makes sense. We're guiding it. So this is what's going to happen before the council break. Then there's 4 sessions planned over the summer. And the staff has promised me, and I believe this, we're going to be making the content from all these meetings available in multiple ways to get it for those that might miss a meeting because they're on vacation in the summer. So we'll make sure that there's plenty of ways to have input. And in this community input, these are 3 obvious questions, and I know there's more that we don't have answers for. But what we're now going to talk about is, if some of these are good ideas, how would you even make a transition? Do you do it overnight, or does it take a couple years and you have, you know, transitional committees? We have to define the charge of these boards. We're giving you outlines and ideas, but this charge is going to be crafted by us collaboratively. And what the schedules and workload and what's the requirements to be on a new board. Maybe there's none, maybe there should be certain requirements. So these are all things we want to discuss and get your input, because you're doing the work. And then we believe, those of us that have been on both sides of this table, that there needs to be a better recruitment in interviewing, or some way, a better process for appointing members, because it's slightly better than we know who you are. I mean, in most cases, unless people have really been active for a long time. So there needs to be a better process from beginning to end, and that's really what this is. We're trying to, and that's frankly why we couldn't take on 19 boards worth of work. If we can get this part of the system right, we can duplicate a lot of the work for the next half. And then what we hope to do is that staff's going to do all the work over the summer with the community. The board, the committee will get back together in late August with a report. And it'll go to the planning board, because if there is any change, it needs to go through a LUMO. And the planning board, by law, has to weigh in on that. And then the council will do some public work. If this schedule stays on schedule, which I don't know if it will, it's going to depend on the quality of the input we get. It's going to determine the schedule. It isn't going to be because we have a schedule and we have to get it done in a certain... If the quality isn't there, we don't get enough input. We're pretty optimistic, to be frank, though, because 40% of all advisory board members responded to the questionnaire. That's an extraordinary high response rate. So we know there's interest. And this is just a massive timeline for just this phase one. We haven't figured out even how to launch it and the structure of that. So these are all kind of unknown things. But what we have tonight, we think, is a great idea behind a new system. And we're not sure how to make that work. And we know it isn't quite right. But we're hoping to create, through 9 or 10 public meetings in the next few months, craft this thing where it makes better sense. So we have about a half an hour for Q&A or discussion. Matt's here and Ed's here, so if they want to come down on the Q&A, that would be awesome. But thanks for coming. I mean, at the very least, we appreciate, you know, starting this journey. So the ground rules tonight will be, if there's anything you like, tell me. And if there's anything you don't like, there's Matt and there's Ed in the back row. Okay. And Ed's in the back row, so any grenades will just lob in the... So who wants to start? Yeah.
Hi, I'm Amy Ryan with the Planning Board, and I'd like to ask a question about the Planning Board specifically and give you a couple of my comments after thinking about this, because I was at the council meeting where you presented it, so I've been kind of rolling it over in my mind. I think one good thing that you've identified is getting a spread of expertise on the Planning Board, which I think, because of the broadness of some of the issues that we consider, is a very good thing to codify in the system. Right now, I think we have a good range. I think we've got people with design, we've got people with transportation backgrounds, we've got sustainability people. So I think right now the board makeup is good, but I think codifying that is a really good idea. I agree with you that workload is an issue. If you're going to have people from the other boards actually serving jointly with on the planning board as well, so I think that's going to be a hard issue to work out. One thing you could do is to make previous service on a board a requirement of being on the planning board. So say somebody who was on the design commission currently wouldn't be on the board, but there would either be a slot on the planning board for somebody who had that service or who was an architect or a designer or had worked in that before. That might be a way to get around that. And I was just wondering if you could speak to why you think it's good to have a weighted opinion. You were talking about if you had, say, somebody coming from the environmental group who was sitting on the planning board, then they would kind of bring that environmental opinion into the planning board discussions and sort of magnify that in a way. And I think sometimes one of the good things about our advisory board system is that it does give us a variety of opinion. So not necessarily one idea just kind of perpetuating up through the system. I know it makes your job harder on council when you get conflicting ideas, but it also maybe gives you, you know, a view of those trade-offs and a broader picture of what's going on. So, thanks. I'll sit down.
Those are all great comments.
I don't know. First of all, I would like to compliment my fellow council member, Mr. Pease, on a great presentation and on moving things forward, and also Jennifer and the rest of the staff, because I think this is really, I mean, others may disagree, but I think this is kind of creative work and asking how we can do things better. And rarely is change embraced wholeheartedly, at least when it's initially presented. My thoughts on the planning board and on this whole process are that I think as a community we have come to appreciate more clearly in the last year or so that we can have a set and do have a set of values and objectives, but in any given project, any given decision, generally speaking, we can't have them all. And so we are faced with having to make judgments and decisions about trade-offs almost every time. And so the notion, anyway, of having someone from each major board on the Planning Commission is that they would do two things. They would be able to reflect the discussion of the trade-offs, for example, on getting around, you know, okay, you know, we add a lane, that makes the traffic move better, but it also makes it harder to cross. Where's the trade-off there? And takes the bike lane out. And then that group who represented different boards and therefore different focuses would do the same thing at the planning board level. So that what not just the council, but the community would get is a conclusion from the planning board which said, we looked at this, this, and this, and we looked at the trade-offs, and this is where we came out. Others can disagree on how you weight those trade-offs, and that's the discussion we would then have at the council level. Because to me, the way things are structured currently might lend itself more to individuals' personal sort of values and biases, which are always going to be there. But to the extent that we've got people who really are focused and have bought into trade-offs and the evaluation of trade-offs, I think we all will, I think we will always end up with a very constructive dialogue. Because I've seen it in council chambers. I mean, we've seen it. So that's the thought. The workload is the biggest concern, no doubt about it. And I'm not sure it'll work. But, of course, we do have liaisons on the planning board from several of the other boards and commissions. No?
Goes the other way.
Goes the other way.
We send them out.
All right. Well, same difference, though, no? So. But anyway, okay, thanks.
And what's your background on this subject?
Good evening. I'm Chris Burnt with the Greenways Commission, and David Tuttle, our vice chair, is also here. And we noticed immediately that Greenways is possibly split into two different functional areas. And we, of course, have been stressing how Greenways is part of our transportation system. So that's a very attractive idea. And at the same time, we're definitely an environmental stewardship committee, too. So not quite sure how that plays out, how commission's functions would be split among two different things, but it's certainly worth looking at. And then I guess we're wondering our specific opportunities for input as a commission, not as individuals, but as a commission. Should we start scheduling it on our agenda now, like May and June, to start discussing, you know, the bigger picture, and then we would, say, present our ideas at these meetings in July? Is that kind of what you might be thinking of? A procedural question.
To be frank, we didn't talk through that subject enough.
Right. So I'm wondering, as a commission, I think when's the right opportunity for input as a board as opposed to individual?
I think we'll figure that out literally in the next the next few days.
Right. So it's one question we had. Like, should we start doing it right now in May?
Well, this is now public.
Right.
I mean, we're presenting next week. We're doing it the hour before the planning board meeting,
right.
Hopefully to get all the planning board members. So, I would absolutely start the conversation at the advisory board level.
Okay.
And if you want to come back with a formal, like you do, recommendation or feedback, I wouldn't.
It would be to the council committee at this point, I would think.
Yeah.
Okay.
And that would be, information that we gather over the summer that goes into the whole bunch of work that's going to be done through the summer for the
right
to go to the committee. We'd vet it and then take it to whatever the steps are going to be to council.
Right. And then I guess on a individual level, probably affecting David, both David and I, you know, our terms are up basically June 30th, and we're agreeing to continue on till October or so. But is the expectation that it'll be decided by then what the future would be? I mean, I guess we kind of need to know both personally and in the bigger picture of our board, like, are we going to continue as chair and vice chair? You know, it's just procedural questions. So
yeah,
it's a detail, but
no, it's an important detail. No, and we totally understand that.
Right.
My answer is we don't know.
Right.
Unfortunately.
Yes, we're willing to continue.
But we may come back to you and say there's no change in anything. We're going to keep going with the current system. Well, if you're willing to serve in your current positions, if it's up, we'll extend it.
Right.
Like we did. That may be an option. We may not feel comfortable in the fall making those decisions. And even if we do, what's going to be vetted or discussed is, should there be some phase-in way? And I'll assure you, I'll speak for the committee, because I'm pretty confident of my partners in the committee's opinion on this, but if you want a seat at the table in this process, there's going to be plenty of places.
Right.
Part of the discussion is, what should the size of some of these boards be? Maybe the current sizes are, maybe they're perfect, maybe they're not. So kind of everything's on the table.
Right.
To try to fine-tune what we currently have and make it better. I think that's...
And then
so
I guess
we'll get back to you. If there is feedback that... But, I mean, council won't be making any decisions on this till early fall at the earliest.
Right.
Right? So... And whether we get that all done and... But I wish I, you know, we know the angst this is going to put you through in some ways of the details, but you need to hopefully help us figure it out.
Okay.
That's why we're here.
Right. And just as a postscript, it'll be interesting to see what kind of participation you get in the middle of July, because traditionally we haven't scheduled a lot of input meetings in the summer months, especially that month. So I hope you'll get the input that you expect or hope for.
Well, if we don't, we're going to delay the process. Okay. I mean, I think I said at least once, and I hoped I said it more than once, this is about quality, not speed.
Right. Right?
That's right. So if the turnout is really meager and we kind of feel like we need more input and people would have liked to, then we'll put some more things in place early fall.
Okay. So we as a Greenways Commission will start discussing this at our May meeting and our June meeting, I think, too. And normally we don't meet July and potentially August, but we'll definitely start giving it some attention. Thank you. Thank you so much.
I think, you know, we'll definitely look at ways for advisory boards to contribute feedback, but we really want you to come out to the community sessions. We think it's really important for advisory board members to be sitting down alongside other community stakeholders and to be having that conversation together about what the future of the board might look like. And there's just so much that you bring in terms of your experience having served on the boards that I think would be really helpful for other community members to hear, especially when we're doing things like talking about workload and what people's willingness to serve is. So I hope that even if you have these conversations at the board level, that you will come out and come to that table as well, because I think that you have some very valuable information and experience to share. So I hope that you'll consider that as well.
Hi, I'm Susan Smith, co-chair of the Historic District Commission, and the chair is also here. I just had maybe a few ignorant questions. How often does the planning board meet? Is it once a week or once a month?
It's twice a month, isn't it? And then there's NCD work and...
It's twice a month?
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh. Okay. Yeah, you...
And Del, correct me if I...
And then there's what kind of work, please?
And there's
committee.
There would be committee. I would consider it committee work, but it's representing the planning board in different processes. Is that describe fairly.
Okay. Interesting. Yeah. So I'm trying to understand what I get the impression, and this is all new to me tonight, so I did not hear what happened before, but that it seems that it's cumbersome that there are so many boards, or is it that it's hard to find people for all the boards, or partly other than the 2020 goals, what is motivating you to mesh some of these boards together? Or did you already say that and I missed it?
There was a feeling from the council, but that came from the community, that there was kind of a disconnect between the work council was doing way back in 2010. And so the council appointed a council committee to kind of look into that. And we've gone through 3 years of work, and last year did a survey, and over 40% of all the town advisory board members responded, which is a great feedback. And they were very clear in the survey of they didn't think their work was as clear as it should be. They didn't have a real sense of purpose with some of the work they did, but everybody felt that it wasn't terribly clear. They didn't think that they were trained enough, and they didn't have a clear connection either to 2020 or, in most cases, to the council's work. So there was a disconnect, the way I would describe it in my business, there's a disconnect in the system between, and I felt that way as a planning board member when I was on the planning board several years ago, 5 or 6 years ago. And I didn't understand how council made some of their decisions. I do now because we don't get very clear information. And I think Matt basically said that. So we're trying to create a system that work, but specifically one of the boards that we've already in this system looked at and said, we don't even think the historic district, for example, it's a full-time, that board is really busy now.
Right.
How could you fold that into something else? So
right.
These are the things that are come out. In this concept of housing or whatever, there may be a couple of boards or something. It may, this is an idea of a concept of a system more than the specifics of how it's going to work. So we've already heard from people that know the work you do and some council members the concern of folding specifically the historic district into some board just because of the
right.
workload. So these are, we're all volunteers to a large degree, mm-hmm. and we're concerned about workload issues. And we don't currently have we have enough people to fill the boards, but we sometimes run vacancies and have trouble filling them, there's no question.
Right.
There's 280? Boy, I inflated that number.
Yeah, that's
right.
We only have 13, generally only about 13 vacancies.
Yeah.
Right.
It's pretty rare where we can't.
So I'm just trying to see how this solution addresses your main concern of having more clarity about what we do on those boards. It seems to me more of an education process or would address
that. Well, we think it's
that.
So what I would ask you tonight is to absorb what you've heard,
mm-hmm.
and listen to other citizens' comments, and this information is going to be on the website, and Jennifer is going to give you a handout that has the information on where the website is and just a 2-page overview of some of these slides. And think about it and then see how the process goes. Weigh in, and there's going to be 9 public meetings in the next few months or 3 months.
Right. I guess.
So I would ask you, and
right.
there's other people that want to speak,
yeah.
if you could absorb this, and we'll have plenty of time for more feedback. So, we know this thing isn't perfect by any stretch of the imagination.
Well, I know
so
that.
What
I
ask
just,
you, and there's notes on the slide deck that'll be on the web, there's
uh-huh.
notes that go into more detail of some of the thinking behind some of this stuff. So if you just, we're going to take our time and let
yeah.
you think about it, and we've got a whole bunch of other meetings to be able
I
to.
I think it is a good idea for us to, we only have a June meeting coming up because we've already had our May meeting, but just to talk, have some time during our June meeting, to discuss that. Just last thing.
Okay, if you can make this quick, because we've got three other people.
Yeah, okay.
And we've
just that I don't know how other people feel, but it's taken me years to really, and I've been on it like four or five years, to really understand all the subtleties of the Historic District Commission. So, and you already mentioned the workload thing, but.
Okay, thanks. Thanks for your comments.
Good evening. I'm Lynn Kane. I think this is great, and I'm sure that a great deal of time and work went into it. And since I tend to be the person who doesn't have a lot of baggage within the officialdom or the community, I'm going to mention some of the elephants in the room. The boards, I think, sometimes are seen as working almost against each other because you have people who are dedicated to bus transit and let's only let people use the bus and people who don't ever want a tree cut and you know the rest. I was part of an informal citizens board, citizens group really. We met fairly regularly for 2 or 3 years. And one of the things we did say, it was what you have accomplished here, let's get fewer boards because the boards tend to attract people who have an agenda and they tend to actually advise at loggerheads with each other, and that's part of the problem that the council has. I also think that we should go with people, and this was part of our discussion as a community group, people who do have some expertise. The training that you're mentioning is certainly something everyone would need so that each of these newer boards could work better together. But I'm really concerned that we don't get bogged down again with process, 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 and is this the right process for Chapel Hill? Some of us went to the talk by Dwight Bassett on economic development this past Wednesday noon here, and what he said is something that a lot of us who are just citizens here and don't want to get involved in the nuts and bolts often say, that if it takes too much time, Chapel Hill just misses the opportunities, and they are going to Durham and to the northern part of Chatham, and we're going to lose a great deal that we're hoping to gain if we don't move ahead. So those are my thoughts. Thanks. Thank you.
Thanks. This committee wasn't charged with trying to speed the process up, but we believe, and I think Matt, and I know Matt, if he has a different opinion, he'll give it, because that's what this needs to be about. But we believe it'll speed the process up. But that wasn't our charge, and so kind of if we can lower the cost of doing it, make it simpler, and speed it up, those would be great byproducts. But that wasn't the goal of, right? We do think that there'll be those benefits. But we didn't specifically go after this. We have a whole bunch of staff and consultants working on speeding the process up. Is that fair to say, Matt? Yeah.
Hello, hi. I'm Joseph Reckford. I'm a chairman of the Historic District Commission. I'm glad to see that you've already heard the comment that we have a full plate, and that so you're trying to get this over, you're trying to hear everybody before 8 o'clock. Look at that, we don't have time.
Yeah.
You know, doing one thing well is taking us till close to 11 o'clock in the evening once a month. Having fewer boards won't make less work necessarily, unless it means, well, fewer boards, we just won't take on as much work. But we're going to. My concern is that the historic districts will get lost in the larger town. It's not a small town anymore. People treasure the historic districts. People think of Chapel Hill. We use words like community. People think of the smaller, closer to the center of town aspect of Chapel Hill. But you know, design planning is a huge thing with big projects going on outside the center of town. It's important to have one group that really concentrates on that one thing well.
Great, thanks. This, that microphone? Oh, sorry.
It was on.
We might be having. Do you have any other comments? We're not sure if we caught all those, but we'll.
No, that's my main point. I I would like to know whether there is a sense of redundancy. Is the Historic District Commission doing something that's redundant with another commission that needs to be eliminated? If not, you know, what's the benefit of merging? For example, I believe we've served in the place of the Appearance Commission, in big projects that take place within historic districts, for example, these major additions to churches that are subject to other design review. Because they're in the historic district, well, the historic district plays that role for the town for those particular projects. And that makes good sense, so there's not redundancy. But if you ask the same commission to also do the appearance of every new project out on 86 North and 54 East and so forth, a lot will get lost, or we'll have to meet three times a month, and why not have three commissions? It's one of the benefits of Chapel Hill that there's a good number of well-qualified people who are happy to contribute. And so let's not streamline just for the sake of saying, oh, we got four, and we can memorize the number of commissions.
Yeah, I got it. Hello, my name is Reiner Dummers. I'm the chair of the Bike and Pet Advisor Board. I'd like to congratulate you. I think this is actually a very good idea. I've been involved in that feedback process already for a while myself. And I agree with some of the disconnect and believe that some of what was said, loggerhead recommendations come from the fact that the boards themselves often overlap but not necessarily have a chance to connect or exchange on that. So I think, in particular, being on the Bike and Pet Board, a new, bigger transportation theme that includes all modes of transportation, to hash those compromises out before it goes forward, I think is going to be a great benefit, especially in the context of the new Bike Master Plan. So I think this is very good. As people also say, you know, the only thing that you can guarantee will never change is that there is going to be change. So at times you need to rip out what is old and replace it with something that is new and better. To the point about, I also agree with sitting then on two boards is going to be something to be worked out, so I share the same concern about workload. With regards to not lose different viewpoints, what is being used in the industry a lot is to bring forward two or three possible recommendations with pros and cons. So I think maybe to consider something would be that the planning board, when it consolidates the input from the different other boards, would not come forward with one recommendation to the town council, but maybe multiple alternatives to consider to begin with, just as a thought.
Yeah.
Hi, I'm Del Snow. I think this is a tremendous amount of work. I know the planning board has advocated for more data for quite a while, and I'm really gratified to see that that theme has been picked up, because I think that's the most important aspect of all of the decisions that we make. I do see a problem with asking people to serve on the planning board along with other boards, and I think it will be incumbent upon the council to choose their board members, the planning board members, by interviewing them instead of the process that goes on now where the planning board interviews other planning board members. So as Amy said, right now we're incredibly diversified and we all respect our different qualifications, and we all turn to various people, let's say like Kimberly, when things come up about stormwater. So I don't think there would be a problem if expertise were represented without having multiple jobs for volunteers. One thing I did want to advocate for was an economic sustainability board. I don't think that there's anything that lends itself more to data and information, the numbers, and nothing that will help transparency as much as having a board discuss these numbers I don't think they would be presented subjectively. That's the beauty of numbers. So I think so many times that's what it all boils down to. And I think ignoring economic sustainability in terms of a citizen board would be a mistake. Thank you.
Yeah, thanks, Del. You know, I was on the first, or the, not, I don't know the first, but I was on the economic, can't remember what we called it, but the Economic Citizens Board, I don't know, 6 or 7 years ago, I guess. So I totally get your point. It's on the slide because we know it's really important. So whether it's a bubble that's consultants or whether it's a square with a line to it is something that's going to be discussed. You know, so I think your points are well taken. We know it's an important, and particularly these two board council members have really been complaining about that for a while now.
And
so
I appreciate that so much because I really respect that. I do think that a board will gender more community support than consultants.
Yeah, you could be right. So this is why we're having this conversation. Okay, well, we ran a little over, but we're pretty close. So Jennifer has a handout that has the information. It'll have the schedules. It'll have the meeting dates and the locations. Everything will be up on the web tomorrow. And the town, for the one of the first times, is dedicating a separate place on the website for this work, and they normally don't do that. So we're pretty excited about that. There'll be lots of ways that you can weigh in. You can call Jennifer, you can send an email, you can come to any of these next 9 meetings. We welcome your input. So thanks for coming.
Yeah.